To that, and welcome everybody. Welcome to Nightlight. We're back at night again, so it's kind of neat to look outside and see it's getting dark instead of high noon. This was my idea. I felt Nightlight should be back in the evening time for a while. So as winter approaches, it's going to be far more appropriate for us to be here, I think. I want to welcome everybody to Nightlight. Welcome light workers, light body energies, seekers of the light, watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers and querers, journeymen and journeyers, seekers, star children and philosophers, and all those who are seeking reason and magic in these times of evolution and transformation. Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Jeannie, we invite you to come in out of the mainstream and gather around this Nightlight in the darkness and confusion of the times. This show represents a sort of pit stop on your cosmic journey, so sit back, share your light with other light-minded people, gather for a time and be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change. This is our own very small oasis in the turmoil that we call creation. Share with us your light, and we'll share ours with you, and with any luck, we can generate enough light to not only light our ways, but provide light enough for others who are seeking as well. These journeys that we're on began a very long time ago and will continue long after this lifetime has faded into memory, so gathering together as we do every week generates energy that can and is drawn on by countless others. Coming together and blending our lights creates energy that serves not only ourselves, but humanity as well. If you'd like to learn more about me, I invite you to visit my website, barbaradelong.com. There's a ton of information there. And there's information also on the other shows that I do. And the one that I do on a regular basis is, of course, Almost Heaven with Lizzie Starr and Bear. And I do that the first Tuesday and the last Thursday of the month. But that show is on every day, every week, anyhow, Tuesdays and Thursdays, and it's an amazingly wonderful show. And, of course, Lizzie and Bear are probably two of the most spiritual people you could ask for. So the show is always interesting. It's always exciting. It's always amazing. So I do invite you to join the show. And if you're looking for me, I'll be there first Tuesday, last Thursday of the month. And if nothing else is going on, I might easily drop in and eavesdrop just to see what is going on with the girls. We're going to be bringing Nightlight to another evening during the week as well shortly, and that will be a show that is interview. We're going to be bringing interesting people on that have spiritual philosophies to share, and it's going to be kind of a very interesting, different show from this one. So we're kind of excited about that. Jeannie and I have been trying to expand our horizons, so to speak, and we seem to have expanded them beyond our expectations. It's kind of a fun thing. Jeannie is in the chat room, and if you do have any questions, please feel free to click on the Barbara DeLong co-host. That's Jeannie. She'll be able to answer any questions that you might have. Might even do a reading for you if you really beg her enough. So she swears she doesn't read, but I swear she does. And if you're interested in getting a reading, the call-in number is 347-857-2139. Would love to have you call in and get a reading. I love reading. So the more the merrier. And as of right now, the queue is not horrendously long. So if you're looking to find out anything about yourself or past lives, please feel free. We would love to have you here. Also, another sort of note of whatever, on my website, there are There are also predictions for every month of the year, and the one for August is up. And I think it's kind of interesting to go back and renew and review it, because I'm going to read it to you, because it does feel like things are beginning to unfold, and it's kind of fascinating figuring that I wrote this almost a year ago. excuse me. You can tell the mold and mildew is getting to me already. This month focuses on the aspect of home. Not just the physical home we live in, but the spiritual one as well, wherein our spirits dwell. Home has a very special energy, one that resonates to the very core of our being. Home is where we go for comfort when the storms of time buffer us and we seek peace and protection. Home is where we retreat to when we need to regather focus and energy. And home is that which draws us in when we need sanctuary from our realities. It is important to nurture both the physical and the spiritual homes, for they are what carry us through this and countless other realities. Take some time this month to do some repair and restoration. Take a moment or two to take stock and see where attention needs to be focused, so that when there is a need, you have already gathered the provisions for which your survival may rely upon. Humanity is going through changes that from time to time could prove a bit stressful. It is just the norm for this kind of awakening, but none of us have been through this level before. Humanity is losing some of its innocence and having to deal with the consequences of its actions towards each other and the planet as well. The universe is calling for a balance and compensation for abuse, and we will pay it. This is not a dire time, but it is one in which healing on many levels is called for. Those who heal will be very busy, and all will feel the energetic shift as balance is restored and a new level of energy is available for all who journey in the light. There are going to be great changes as the end of one era fades and another is created. It is the responsibility of every individual to contribute to this creation, for it will be the framework and the foundation upon which we will build our future. The scope and dimensions depend entirely upon our visions and intentions. Those who do not contribute will not have a voice and will lose the opportunity to lead. A threshold approaches us, and cross it we must. It brings us into an expanded wholeness and a greater understanding of what our direction will be in the generations yet to come. Veils of confusion will dissipate, and there will be a greater clarity of direction and purpose for all. Life will change as we know it, but a greater energy of oneness will embrace us and guide us towards the dawning of a new possible destiny for mankind. As with most shifts and eras, this does not happen overnight, but the energies are already increasing in frequency and will draw us forward, ready or not. As we move forward, it will be very important for all to seek out and find their own inner truths and to begin living them. Truth, in its purest sense, speaks from the heart and the spirit. Truth shares with everyone the quality of the spirit within. When we share our own truths with others, we let them glimpse to the very core of our beings. To be truthful with first yourself and then others, you establish your very purpose and direction within this reality. The truth becomes the bridge between mortality and immortality. Stored within is the sum total of every lifetime ever experienced since creation. We carry it lifetime to lifetime and use the wisdoms as is appropriate for greater experiences. This month opens the pathway to those memories. Through dreams and insights, much is available to enrich your present reality. Past lives hold much information and talents that could easily be brought forward and applied to this lifetime. Pause and give yourself the opportunity to expand understanding and insight using the talents from the past, to crack open the doorway to the future, to expand your vision, to stretch beyond your sight. A lot of stuff going on out there, guys. Lots and lots and lots of new stuff. And what's fascinating and exciting is that we really are looking at a new era here. We are coming into the dawning of the Piscean Age. And no age, you know, no age jumps at us and expands immediately. Ages take a long time to really get going, and we're at the very beginning. We're letting go of the old age, and we're coming into a new age, and it really is exciting, and there are such unbelievable changes that it's that it's just fascinating. So I want you to pay attention to all the new stuff that is open to us on a spiritual level, and understand that the more we open, the more sensitive we become, the greater the potential is to have such cool energy to work with. And it isn't just that, you know, we are capable of greater insight and greater wisdom and greater everything. We're also capable of greater fun and finding greater joy in our life. And so this is a time of expansion. This is a time of moving into new areas of development and greater excitement. And this is a time when we really can expand not only our understanding and our wisdoms and our spiritual insights, but our impact upon our reality and our environment and our world. So lots of good stuff coming here, and it just feels to me as if we need to really pay closer attention to what's going on, because in past eras, as times have shifted, there wasn't the consciousness that there is now, and it's just, it's amazing. It's phenomenal. And I think we should pay real close attention to what's happening, because we are in at the beginning of one of the most exciting times that has happened since we've recorded history. So it's a cool time. Okay. We're going to start with Bob. Hi, Bob. Are you there? Hello, Bob. Jeannie, where did Bob go? Bob is not here. We will go back to someone else. We'll come back to Bob later. We've got Kathy in Maryland. Hi, Kathy. Are you there?
Hi. Haven't talked to you in ages.
Yes, I would say so. It has
been a while.
Long time. Well, yeah, it is a new age after all. How can I help tonight?
Well, I'm still working on my journey, but nothing is happening. Everything seems to be slow.
Well, nothing much happens in August anyhow. But, I'm looking at your cards here, and it feels like everything's in place. So the first question is, you know, what are you doing with creative stuff? Because that's the first thing I ask most people. Yeah.
What do you mean, creative stuff?
Spiritual energy is what fuels our life, and it can only get into our reality through creative channels. And you create the creative channels by being creative. Now, you can't be paid for that creativity, because if you're paid for it, then it doesn't count. But what you need to do is understand that there needs to be some sort of creative endeavors going on a regular basis here, and I'm not seeing anything. I'm seeing a tremendous amount of work on yourself, and that's fabulous. I'm seeing letting go of a lot of things. I'm seeing decluttering your life. I'm seeing healing taking place, but I'm not seeing the creative stuff. And so I'm wondering, are you doing anything of a creative nature here?
Making jewelry.
Well, but you get paid for it, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
True. You're in the same dilemma that I have fallen into, and I can't tell you how many times. If you're paid for it, then it is something that you have been compensated for. Now, if you want to just give it away, it would be okay.
I did. But I did give four necklaces away, or three necklaces yesterday.
Well, that's a good thing.
And I gave some earrings away Saturday.
Okay. But the reality here is that is something that you truly do to do for profit. So what I'm looking for is drawing or writing. Writing is what I'm really looking for, because you have an amazing amount of talent here with words, and I don't see you necessarily doing anything with the writing or journaling. And I'm pretty sure we talked about journaling a while back.
And I say I don't like to write or journal.
Okay. And you haven't changed your mind. Okay. Then I would say let's find something else that you can do with your hands that's of a creative nature that you're not going to get paid for. And do you knit? Do you crochet? Do you do any of those things?
to crochet.
Okay, I just want you to do something that's creative. It doesn't have to be beautiful. You don't have to be creating Sistine Chapel, Mona Lisa, anything like that. I want you to be creative just for the sheer joy of creating something. And if all you're doing is crocheting squares for an Afghan that you want to give away to a nursing home or something like that, that's great. It just has to be of a creative nature, because you're not doing anything creatively to open the channel for the spiritual energy to get your life moving along. And what I'm seeing here is everything is there. Everything's in place. It's just a matter of you fueling it so that it'll get going. I mean, from what I can tell, you're there. So, but you can't sit on that silver platter. The only thing it's going to do is tarnish your underwear. So you've got to be doing something of a you know, and I don't care if it's wrapping packages for birthdays and Christmas and stuff like that creatively. The universe is very, 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 very open to any form of creativity you want to be putting out there, but you have to be putting something out there that you're not getting paid for, and you're not at this moment in time.
Well, I've been in this funk because I hurt my back about a month ago, mm-hmm. or more, and I found out today I got to have back surgery.
Okay.
So, you know, I just have not been wanting to do anything.
I got you, but you know what? Yeah. The only thing that you got left to do is write.
I guess so.
I would, and you know, it doesn't have to be about spiritual stuff. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. You can be writing letters to everybody you know, just telling them where you are and what you're going through. I mean, letter writing is an art form, and it's not used anymore because everybody uses the internet. It doesn't have to be creative writing. It doesn't have to be stories and novels. It doesn't have to be poetry. Just write. And open that channel. I mean, I would love to beat you up, but, you know, if you're going to have surgery, I guess that's kind of, you know, a bit much. But it's so simple to do. And all you have to do is a little bit every day, and that will get the energy flowing. And come on, you're going to be going through a healing process. You're going to have a whole bunch of stuff going on. You're going to be laid up. For heaven's sakes, find some interesting stuff to do with your hands. I would say even making yourself a healing afghan or a healing mm-hmm. blanket or something like that, using just the color, you know, the colors that are soothing to you, would be fabulous.
Okay. Well,
so,
I'll work on that then.
All you have to do is be creative. That's all you need to do. And, of course, the way you do things, you do them so well, eventually you get paid for them. So then you'll have to find something else to do that is of a creative nature. Hey, I painted mandalas for the longest time and gave them away, and I thought, you know, I'm covered here. And then damned if people didn't start paying me for them, so I had to find something else to do. Then I started writing, and then somebody published the darn stuff. And so then I had to find something else to do. So that, you know, you get to a place. And then I did the deck of cards, and I thought, you know, that's really cool. And then somebody published it. So then I had to find something else to do. And you know, it's a matter of, and you know these little ruffle scarves that everybody's wearing these days?
Right.
Okay, that's six stitches. That's knitting, and that's six stitches. And I thought that was really cool. Somebody tried to sell me one, and I said, no, I don't want to buy one. I just said, show me how you make it. And, Jeannie, I've made over 40 of them, and I finally realized that this was overkill as far as creative went. And so I'm going to try to sell them just to get my yarn money back. And if I can't sell them, I'm just going to give the damn things away because, you know, who can use 40 scarves? But it's a matter of you need to find something to do. You need to find something that's creative to do. And Patrick left me with lots and lots and lots of research for a book. And I'm going to work on the book. And if I'm lucky, it'll take me years and years to write so that I have – so that I've got my creative project going. And, you know, once it's published, then I'm going to have to find something else to do. But I figure I got a good year or two to go with that. So you need a creative project. You need to open at least one channel that has absolutely no monetary purpose to it at all.
Okay, I didn't know that.
It just has to be one channel, and it can be anything. I spend a whole year scanning all of my recipes under the computer, and that was creative. Of course, now they're all there, and there's nothing I can do. Now I have to find something else. But it's kind of like,
well, you can make a cookbook now.
No. It's a very creative thought. You could do a creative. You could do a blog talk radio show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, why do you think this is one thing I do that's creative and I don't get paid for it? So it's really cool. So you know, but the more channels you have open, the faster things happen in your life. The more the universe shoves to you. It's a very exciting time.
Okay.
All right. Even
go back to scrapbooking.
Yes, you could. You could do anything you wanted to do, but it has to be creative, and you can't be paid for it. It's just that simple. So, play with it, and play is the operative word. If it becomes work, then it's not creative. I'm sorry. But let me know. Keep in touch.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we've got... Oh, this is interesting. We all have a whole bunch of people. Hi, Jen. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, I'm doing great, Barbara. How are you?
I could not be better. I would love it if the mold wasn't here so I had a voice. But other than that, I'm fabulous.
Me too. I know exactly how you're feeling about that mold. I've been suffering from it from the past couple of days. I live in the South, and we've had a lot of humidity and rain, and that combination makes for a lot of mold and crazy sinus stuff. So I feel you, girl.
Oh, wow. But you know what's weird? I was just noticing today the leaves have started to turn. So,
wow. Like in autumn colors, do you mean? Or just because
they're getting oranges and reds and yellows. It's amazing. It's not as abundant as it will be, you know, come October, but I got a feeling that we're in for a very, very early fall here. It looks as though it's going to be quite interesting.
So that is interesting.
And I'm kind of wondering if that's the case, then when does winter start? Our seasons are skewed. Our seasons are definitely changing and shifting. And a part of me, you know, we had about a week of really horrendously hot weather, and now it's cool. And somebody said it was in Indian summer, but no, I think something's going on. I think our weather patterns are definitely changing. And in that, I think that the whole planet is going through, you know, I said at one point during that heat wave that the Earth was going through menopause, and I'm beginning to think maybe it is.
That's a good way to put it. I think I agree with you there. We've had an unusually cool summer for where I live. Usually it's so hot and terribly unbearable, but we've had it pretty good considering, you know, we've had a few days that reached in the high 90s and a couple of hundreds, but we've had in the past, you know, 30 days of that kind of weather in a stretch with no rain. So I feel we're lucky, very fortunate.
Well, I really am beginning to think that that we're definitely seeing a shift in our patterns, and I think that the Earth is going through some major changes. I think, you know, there are earthquakes, far more earthquakes, and the storms are horrendous. Something's going on. One of the things that I was fascinated with was the New Madrid fault line seems to be becoming active again, which is a little scary. So,
It runs through my state, so I've been hearing that and kind of my antennas up because it does run through where I live as well. I'm like, oh my goodness.
I read that the states where it runs through have been going through drills and stuff like that, just in case there was another, just in case it woke up.
Yes, I agree. I've been hearing that as well for
here. And for those of you that don't know about the New Madrid fault line, it runs up and down the Mississippi, basically. And the last time there was activity in the New Madrid fault line was 1811 and 1812. And the earthquake that occurred was they didn't have the Richter scale then, but they feel that it was an 8 or a 9 on the Richter scale when it did go. So it has the capacity to be even more violent than the San Andreas fault. So... let's pay attention to that kind of stuff, folks. And then those of us that are, you know, in areas that haven't gotten a lot of, you know, natural disasters, pay attention to maybe having our families a little more attuned to what happens if there is a disaster, where do we meet up, and, you know, what is our procedure? Because I have a feeling that this may be a part of our future to a great extent, and I think being prepared is a great way to avoid, you know, really bad stuff.
That's a great idea.
Now that we've done that, how can I help you tonight?
Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to know what you could tell me, you know, if Spirit has anything specific to say, but I am estranged from my son and my grandchildren, and I wonder if you could give me any insight on when you think we might have a reunion or the relationship may begin to heal.
I think there's a healing process going on now, and I would say that quite probably this month is going to be a time where you see a beginning of a change, and do understand it's not going to be an overnight thing. It's going to be something that takes, you know, a year or two for it to finally evolve into something that is more to your liking. But I'm seeing the birthing of a new perception, the dawning of a new time, the opening of a new way so that there can be peace and love and relationship again. It does feel as though that is coming here, and I would say that by the time you get to October, there's a like a phoenix rising energy, like there is massive change here. Yeah. Now, please understand that nothing happens overnight. I want to say that over and over and over and over again. You're going to get hints. You're going to get subtle things happening. And it's really important that you not overreact, that you just, you know, accept things as though nothing has changed and go forward. Don't try to analyze. Don't try to figure out what happened and stuff like that. And just keep going forward, because sometimes we get caught up in the analyzation of things, and when we do that, then we reopen old wounds, which is not what you want to have happen.
Right, that is so true.
So basically, you know, it's sort of like as they make the opening parlays here, just act as though nothing has happened. You're going to have to really bite your tongue a lot. But in so doing, you open lines of communication and you know, build upon the wisdom of your past. Don't try to reason, talk, analyze, understand. Just move forward. The most important thing is everybody loves everybody, and it feels like they've dug a hole here that they don't know how to get out of. And therefore, you know, everybody's uncomfortable and they don't know how to make the change and shift because so much has been said and so much has been, there's hurt here all over the place. And the only way to get beyond it is to go beyond it and put it behind you.
Yeah, I agree. It's been 6 years since I have had any kind of quality time at all with any of them. And since that time, I've had a new grandchild come in the picture who I have never met. She's about a year old now, and it just breaks my heart. It's my only child and all that, so I'm excited. I will bite my tongue. I will, you know, do all those things. I just want that little opening, and this is great news to know that it's coming.
Well, all you really have to do is to keep, you know, has there been totally, absolutely no communication?
Yes, ma'am. I've seen him two times where I have gone to his job where he used to work just to drop off a note or whatever. I have no idea where they live or what their phone number is or address to even write him a note or a letter or mail a card. There's just no way. They know how to reach me, but
okay.
There's
are
no way
on,
I can.
Are they on Facebook?
No, I can't reach them on Facebook.
Okay, well then I would definitely, you know, address something to him at, you know, send something to work and send him something about how delighted you are that they've had a healthy baby and you're just so thrilled and delighted that they have that kind of magic in their life, and then let it go. And the next time an occasion for a card arrives, you send the card to where he works. Don't take it there. Send it there. He'll get it. And you know, just let it be a lighthearted, happy, I've been thinking of you, and don't overdo it. Not a card a day, you know. birthdays and occasions and stuff like that, and just be consistent with it, and don't make them mushy, and don't make them, I'd love to see you, I miss you, any of that stuff. Just, I'm so glad and happy for you, and I'm glad you're in my life. And keep saying, I'm glad you're in my life. And it's going to be very obvious that they're not, but it will plant a seed for them. And you have to let them know it's safe to make contact.
Okay.
So you don't want to open old wounds. You just want to build a really good relationship going forward. And this is one of those times that you cannot dig up and analyze the past. It doesn't work. People have made big mistakes.
Oh, absolutely.
People have made big mistakes. They said things they really didn't mean, but you know, words don't start to live until we speak them, and unfortunately some people's mouths were working before their heads were in gear. So just step
in. All it would do would be put them on the defensive anyway, and I wouldn't want to do that. I want healing to go forth from here on out. I don't want trying to spend too much energy on all that analyzing and who blame placing, because it's really just not important. What's important is just coming back together as a family and, you know, just spending time and loving one another. That's what I think. So.
Absolutely. And so, you know, I think it's just, you know, you wipe it off. It was a bad judgment on all around. Everybody was wrong. Nobody was right. Because if people are hurt, then nobody's right. So it's a matter of moving forward, and you have to always be joyful and always be happy and not get weepy, and it does feel as though it's about to happen. It's very, very close, and you know, just send a card. And
thank you so much, Barbara. I appreciate that encouragement and taking the time to talk with me tonight. Thank you so much, and congratulations on your new show.
Yeah, it's finally in the dark where Nightlight belongs. Okay, thanks for calling. Let us know.
Okay, I'm
going to
listen on
the
computer. Thank you.
Fantastic.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to try Bob once again, if I can find him. Apparently he got dropped. Hi, Bob. Are you there? Hello, Bob.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. I didn't know you had called me earlier, so I didn't hear that. Sorry.
I figured you just went out for a glass of water or something.
Actually, I did, and didn't hear you calling my name. So.
No, that no problem. You're here now, and so am I. How can I help?
Oh, I don't know, man. Just what do you see?
Well, I think that you're going through a tough time. And from what I can see here, it's really it's very appropriate for you to start being are you doing a lot of analyzing of stuff here? I see you taking stock.
I'm tired of trying to analyze. I'm trying to analyze my whole life. I'm through with that crap. I just need some results. I'm not kidding, man. I feel like the universe is beating on me.
Well,
I'm tired of it. I'm ready to fight, so.
Well, no, I understand. Excuse me. I understand where you're coming from, because I certainly have been there myself more than once, I hate to say. But what I'm seeing here is that it does here feel as though you've taken the laughter out of your life, and that's not a good thing to do. It feels as though, and I understand when you feel as though nothing is working and that things aren't coming the way you want it, it is kind of a depressing, sad thing. And the best thing you can do is to, you know, they say that the best revenge is to live well and be excited and be joyful. And sometimes that isn't as easy as it is said, but what I'm seeing here is that laughter becomes a greater part of your life as in this particular month, and it does feel as though you have new people coming into your life. So that I know that it does feel that something is changing inside of you, and it does feel as though there is
I'm getting meaner. I'm getting a lot meaner. That's what's happening. I'm not
Are
kidding.
Really?
I'm dead serious.
Now is it? But that won't attract someone to you. You do understand that, right?
Being nice doesn't either. That just gets you stepped on.
No, it doesn't. Are you out looking for somebody? Let me ask you this: are you out looking for someone?
Not anything specific. I'm just trying to do the best I can and go out here and there. I don't, spend my life in bars or anything like that, if that's what you mean.
No, you're not a bar person. I'm sorry. But, no, what I'm saying is it feels to me here as though you feel isolated and alone. And certainly I can recognize that myself. But what I'm...
that's nothing new. That's been my whole life, so... And then back in February, you said something would happen in February, and then back in like March, you said something would happen in June. Nothing happened either time, so I don't know what to believe.
Hey. Well, third time's the charm. It does feel here that you have to put yourself in places where you are having a good time, where you are joyful, where you are not angry or bitter or,
Where's that at?
Well, I don't know, and I think that's something that you've got to, really figure out, because when you're angry and when you're upset like this, that'll attract people to you that are the same way as you are, and that's not what you're looking for. You are an amazingly lovely person, and you've got a great sense of humor.
It's never appreciated. Yeah, I do, and I do have a good sense of humor, and it's not appreciated. It's like you open up people and they stab you in the back. I'm a former Marine. I'm a trained killer. And I've been trying to take the high road my whole life, try to do the right thing, try to be a decent guy. Quite frankly, it's never paid off. And I'm about ready to snap. The next person disrespects me, there's going to be a big fight. I'm just putting it out there right now.
Well,
I'm not
going to
take it.
No, it sounds like you're inviting it, though, and that's not a good thing either.
I'm not inviting it. I'm just not going to take it. I never invite it. I've never invited it. I never will. I'm not that kind of guy. But I'm not going to take it.
Well, listen, I know that you haven't been lucky in love lately. And
no, women love guys that pound on their heads. They don't like nice. They don't like decent guys. I've seen it with my own two eyes a million times.
No, you're wrong.
They like a guy that treats them like crap. That pulls them.
You're
I've seen
wrong.
It. They buy the hair. Call them the B word, call them the C word. I've even seen them punching the women with their fists, like they're fighting against a man, and these women stay with those clowns. And then they sit there complain about it, say they want a nice guy, and then they meet a nice guy, and they crap all over that poor fool, then go run to the next jerk or the last jerk that's going to slap them silly again. I've seen it.
No, I'm sure you have seen it, Bob, but you know something? You're just not in the right circles, because I can't tell you the number of really nice, kind, lovely women I know that have had those kind of guys in their lives. And to be honest with you, they are scarred, and they are sad, and they are I mean, I feel so badly for them. I know you're hurting, but there are lots of women out there that have been the ones that have been slapped around that hurt just as well. And you may not like to hear it, but the only way you attract somebody beautiful and joyful, and I'm not talking about physical beauty, I'm talking spiritual, I'm talking soul, I'm talking kind, generous, you know, loving person. The only way you attract someone like that into your life is by becoming that. And if you want that in your life,
been
you
there,
have
done
to
that.
Become that.
Been there, done that, Barbara.
Well, I don't think so, because if that was the case, you would
have
something
in your
life.
I do. I know what I've experienced.
Life.
I was there. You weren't.
No, well, that's
I was
true.
There.
That's true. But all I can tell you is that the potential is here for you. And maybe rather than focusing on the fact that it's not been an easy time for you and that you've done this pattern over and over and over and over again, maybe the important thing for you to do is to just get out there and help people and be kind to people and be loving to people. And
I've helped plenty of people in my life. I always help people. I'm always giving a helping hand, all different kinds of ways, all different kinds. Been there, done that.
I don't think the universe is out to get you.
I do, till proven otherwise.
Well, I understand where you're coming from, but from what I can see, from what I can feel here, I feel that you have a great potential for having somebody, you know, perfectly wonderful in your life. But
Charlie Brown potential, he never gets to kick the football. potential is screw potential. Where's the results? I'm sick of the universe playing games with a decent guy here, and you know, or whatever, God, whatever you want to call it. I got a few choice words for it. Where's the results? They need to stop playing games. Where's the results? Enough's enough.
I hate to say this to you, but it's up to you.
No, it's not, because it takes two to tango.
It's up to you first. It's up to you first. You can be angry if you want to for the rest of your life, if that's what makes you feel happy. But if you want to be happy, you have to change, and you have to do it. And you can't say to the universe or God or whoever is out there, you can't say, you know, I want to see the results before I make the effort. And I'm sure you've made the effort, but for some reason it wasn't long enough or it wasn't enough. There was something going on.
It was withheld. It was withheld.
Then you were with the wrong person.
I love how God always has a disclaimer. The universe always has a disclaimer. What a gig. That's a great gig to have. You can't do no fault.
Well, you know, you're not the only one that is out there struggling. And there are plenty of women that are out there that feel exactly the same that you do.
Well.
And I do feel that if you're this angry, that maybe you should get some professional help. You know, it's something that all of us from time to time need, and it's something that helps all of us from time to time. I'm not saying you're crazy. I'm saying you're very angry, and you're not doing a really, really good job with dealing with it. So, you know, maybe getting some help so that you can get over this hump so that you could, you know, something. I think what makes me angry is that inside of you is an amazingly beautiful, loving, kind, gracious, generous, honest person, and for whatever your reason,
it doesn't pay off.
It does pay off. It pays off in spades. And,
when I'm only waiting my whole life, I'm not getting any younger. I'm not 10 years old anymore. When is it going to pay off?
How old are you? How old are you?
52.
Okay. Well, you know, that's still that's still young enough to find magic. And it's out
where,
there.
Where? When?
Okay. You know something, Bob? It took me a very long time to find it, but I did. And I had to change. And I did. And I got magic in my life. And you can too. And I speak from experience. And
so do I. I'm speaking from my experiences.
All right. Well, I didn't find it till I was 63, Bob. Now, I'm not saying you have to go through another 10 years. I'm saying that you can turn it around now, but you're at a place here where all you're going to do is attract angry people, or you're going to scare people away. And you have a choice. It's your choice.
Well, and they weren't the right ones. And if they can't understand, here's a great guy who just maybe he's going through a little bit of a tough time. Then that's not the wrong person. They can keep on walking. It's that simple.
Well, that's very true. It's very true. But you know something? When you get yourself in a place where everything is much better and you can relax your boundaries and just sort of let your joy come out, that's when you're going to find that you will have to, I don't want to say beat them away with a stick because you wouldn't do that, but your anger is keeping you away from all the good stuff that's out there, and you need help to deal with the anger. And I can't help you because you're way beyond my credentials, but I can tell you you got it in you, and I can tell you it's out there for you, and I can tell you if you can find a place to get rid of that anger, you can find exactly what you're looking for, and it's there for you.
That's what you said last February and last March.
And have you done anything to deal with the anger?
I wasn't angry.
You sound pretty angry now.
Yeah, because I feel like the universe is just a big fat fraud.
It's not.
Well,
it's not.
Well.
Hey, I can understand where you're coming from. I can. But I also know that
I've only got 52 years of cold, hard evidence, so I don't know, man.
Well, you know something? I've had...
It's like it plays games or something, like it's sadistic.
It is not. It is
not very nice. I know that. It's not very nice. It's not kind and warm and loving like people say.
It's not fun.
It's all this hype and hot air. It's all this hype and hot air. Where's the good tangible results? When's that going to happen?
It's all up to you. You can make it happen.
I can't sit there and go up to Susie Too and pull her by the hair, even I've seen other guys doing that.
No, you're not supposed to do that. You're not, and you know, while you could do it, it would go against
your
grain.
They do it, and they do it, and they get companionship, and they're not like asking the universe or God or whatever you want to call it to help them.
You do it, you'll get arrested. Don't do that.
Exactly. But they don't. They get love.
Okay. No, they don't. They get fear. You need some help, Bob. And you know something? I got to move on.
I know. No, I don't.
I'm so sorry. You do need some help. Please get it.
You're inaccurate.
Nah, I'm older than you and I know more. Take care.
Really?
Yeah, really. I'm not a therapist, guys. I'm just a poor little psychic here who has a bit of experience under her belt. And I think that's something you guys have to understand. I'm not a therapist, and I'm not a doctor, and I can't wave a wand and make anybody's life better. But I can tell you when it's out there, and when the potential is there for it, and I can tell you when it's not. When somebody gets to a place where I can't help them and other people can't help them, then they have to go find help where they can get it. Bob has a great deal of potential and a great deal of love in him, and it's really sad that he doesn't see it, but he will someday, hopefully. Okay, we got Dave in Canada. Hi, Dave. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Barbara. I'm doing well.
Good.
I've got to express my admiration for your patience and your tolerance and... I would call Bob a troll and leave it at that, frankly.
Well, it wasn't that great. I hung up on him, so.
Yeah, well, you should have hung up on him a long time before that, in my view, but, you know, I'm not as tolerant or patient as you. So
well,
I admire
you know,
that in you. I do admire that.
I think that when you're hurting, sometimes you got to have somebody hear you, and you have to have a sounding board, and you know, we all have those moments. He's called up a number of times so to sound off like that, so it's sort of like you just sometimes people need, you know, like I said, way beyond my credentials. I have 2 master's degrees, but they aren't in psych, so. At least I know when to call it quits and say, I can't deal with this.
That's right. Good for you.
So how can I hopefully help you?
Well, I'd like to know anything you see about my my future working life. There's been some changes. Some other changes are necessary. And so I'm really interested to hear anything you see.
It looks like there are new foundations here. So are you starting something new?
Yes.
Because I see when I look at occupation career, I see new foundations, I see fresh starts, I see, it just feels as though there's such joy and happiness here. It's unbelievable. I feel strongly that you possibly are following a passion, which is commendable. It feels here as though you are sending out new energy to attract new people, new insights, new directions. Are you taking a leap of faith here?
Not quite yet. I'm trying to use my left brain to come up with a strategy that'll work for me. And also, I want to write also, but the writing is the impractical, you know, the part that I really take joy in and get great pleasure out of, but also the part that is less likely to earn me a living, frankly.
Well, speaking from experience, writing is a wonderful, wonderful creative endeavor, and it's magical and it's phenomenal and it's fabulous, and you're not going to support yourself on it, but it will be the fuel to you know, open other doors for you. So I think that writing is something that you should be doing on top of everything else. It does feel here as though you're bringing a new balance into your life and that you're moving in new directions. I feel celebration and laughter and joy in September. It feels as though you're getting your ducks in order. In October, November, there are new foundations, and what you've sent out returns to you greatly magnified by the time you get to December. So a lot of things have been put in motion, and it feels as though there is a lot of there are new gears being put in here, as though you are creating a new venue for yourself to a certain degree. And that's a very commendable thing to do. I would say that there's a duality here as well. So it feels as though there are at least two different things going on here, or whatever you're doing has a two-tiered plan to it. I'm not sure which way to call it.
Well, that makes sense. If there's if I'm going to take a class or a course to get a certificate in, say, computer tech while I'm writing on the side, that would be completely different, you know, two completely separate things.
Yeah, I think that, you have to understand that the writing may be a spiritual outlet for you. On many different levels, and yet the computer tech stuff, phenomenal. So I would say the two of them combined would be extremely wonderful. The other thing I would look into, 2 programs come to mind here: Sony Vegas and Corel, which are used to make videos and documentaries. So play with 1 or 2 of those programs. The easiest one to play with and learn is Corel. And I see that there's a lot of talent here. I you know, while writing I think is wonderful, and I think that you should absolutely do it, I'm seeing you being more of a video person than writing. So
okay, the two programs are Sony Vegas, V-E-G-A-S.
Sony Vegas, S-O-N. Yeah, Sony. Sony
Vegas.
And Vegas,
like Las Vegas.
And Corral. C-O-R-A-L. And they're wonderful programs for making your own documentaries. Patrick and I did our Secrets of the Stones with Corral. And it's a phenomenal program. You learn how to lay down five different tracks and put all the stuff in. And it really is, you know, a rather fascinating program, and it's something that you would probably get a lot of enjoyment out of, not only on a personal level, but professionally and where you might want to take it. Excuse me. And the other thing, I can see you writing documentaries. I can see you writing pieces that have a philosophy behind them, and with these programs you can take still slides and stuff like that and blend them together, or put streaming videos up or whatever, and you can put in your text and your narration, and you can do all sorts of amazing stuff with it. So it's really cool stuff. It looks like you're really on the road to opening new venues for yourself, and it looks very, very exciting to me.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Barbara.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Take care now.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. My goodness. Okay, we got Sally in Florida. Hi, Sally. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Barb. How are you?
I am fabulous. Thank you.
You handled that caller beautifully, by the way. You were so good with him. Much more patient than most of us would have been.
Well, angry men is something I do well with.
Yes, I know. I've been there, done that with my first husband. I'm calling about my favorite subject, and I know yours also.
Past
lives.
Yes. Okay, just any past lives I can find, because, you know, I like the story.
Any you could find, but I am very interested to know if you pick up any past lives to do with someone who's been involved in my life for many lifetimes. His name is Richard. And when you spoke to me about a past life where I was a conjoined twin, I think he was my twin.
Ah, okay. What I'm seeing here is, God, such a magnetic personality. You have a couple of past lives where you really utilized your personal magnetism to help people, to guide people, to direct people. And I must say that in the past lives that I'm seeing here, you did it with great wisdom and great sincerity, and you held, you were a very humble, responsible person. If I look back 3,000 years, I'm seeing you in China. I'm seeing you as somebody who excuse me, you were a leader of a group that was really migratory, so that you were leading a group of people into the wilderness, almost not like Moses, but into the wilderness anyhow. And it was your charisma that cemented your position in this particular lifetime, and people followed you without any sense of fear or anxiety. You had the capacity for always being able to talk yourself and your people, your tribe. They never had to fight, because you always were able to find a peaceful way of achieving whatever it is you needed to achieve, whether it was passage through a particular providence or whatever. And your magnetism and your ability to sway people to your way of thought and your ability to negotiate was just profound, and that was a tribe of people that actually never had to fight in your entire lifetime, and you had almost 50 years of leading them in peace as you traveled all around the provinces at that particular point in time. If I go back even further, again, a sense of magnetism, and I find you in I keep wanting to say Egypt, but it's not quite Egypt. So it's that area. But I think more to the right of Egypt, Iran, Syria, and I don't know what they would have. I keep hearing Babylon. So Babylonia, that area of the country. And here as well, you were a woman of extreme charisma. There was a magnetism that just oozed from you. And here you were someone who spoke peace and spoke love and spoke. You were not a religious person. You were more of a philosophical person. And so you did gather people to wherever you lived, and I want to say a villa, and I think it was a villa. And people would come from all over to just be in your presence and talk to you and share wisdoms with you. And you took everything that was shared with you, and you molded it into a it feels like there were many documents that you wrote, and it does feel here that your documents, though written in the name of a man, were actually your stuff, and it seems to me that your material is still out there. You have had lifetimes in the same time frame as Socrates and Plato, and you have been attracted always to people who had the same kind of charisma that you have. And it's interesting, in past lives, you've been able to find others that were like you energetically, and you have basically been drawn to them and been able to share philosophies. This lifetime, you have the same charisma, but you're having trouble finding people that you can share that energy with, that excitement for wisdom, ancient knowledge, ancient philosophies with. As far as Richard goes, I think that you have had a number of lifetimes with him, and the lifetimes that I'm seeing here really don't correspond to these same lifetimes with the extreme charisma that you've gotten. And you have this magnetism. I mean, people are drawn to you, and you don't know why the heck they're there. It's just that they're attracted to you, and you find that you know, suddenly there are people in your life that you can't put a reason why they're there. They're just there. And you have this wonderful sense. Are you writing at all, Sally, at all?
I have written, and I took a creative writing class in college. And, yes, I have written some. It's something that I am interested in pursuing more, that, you know, now that I'm retired from nursing. Yes, mm-hmm. It is of interest to me.
Because I can see you publishing your stuff and then actually being able to go and speak to groups of people about the philosophies and the things that you've written, because that charisma is definitely here. And I must say, in many of those past lifetimes, you didn't come into your greatest strength until you were older than 50.
And I am now.
Yeah. You got a long time to go here. You got a lot to share and a lot to write, and writing is absolutely amazingly important for you. So I would definitely stress that. I feel that there is a part of you looking for other people to have connections with, and you know, I have found that philosophically, you know, connecting to people you've been with in past lives is often the way to go, and you often will know, you know, those people by just, you know, the energetic pulling you have to them, and it does feel as though there's a great deal of that here. You have a great, you know, an amazing amount of energy that just radiates from you, and the more you write, there is going to be a stronger pull to this. So this is the writing is the way you're going to attract these people into your life. So
very interesting. And you're right. People, I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn, but people are very drawn to me, and I've had a very strong pull all my life to Jewish people of the Jewish faith, and my friend is Jewish, but especially, you know, Jewish men, and I just had that sense that I, you know, had a lifetime in that area, and all of those teachings are quite important to me. And as you said that, I just had the feeling that perhaps this writing is going to be, you know, channeled things. Do you feel that it's going to be channeled messages or?
Well, yeah, that's what it feels like. It feels,
yes.
It feels as though that's what you know, I'm looking for here is that's what's going to send out the message. That's what's going to send out the call, so to speak. So I would definitely, you know, get going on it because it feels to me as though the universe is just waiting for you.
Right. That's very interesting. And it's very interesting what you said about the first lifetime because my husband, it's so interesting because once in a while he'll call me sorry. And I, at like S-A-R-I, it just slips out all the time. And I have picked up this lifetime in the Orient with him. And I think that it's from that lifetime that he lets that name out. It's very cute, actually, when it, you know, comes out just so he's not even thinking of it and it just slips out. So that was very profound, and I just love talking to you about the past lives.
Oh, I love past lives.
Thank you, dear. You know I'm
okay.
Crazy about you.
Well,
I appreciate you
so
taking my call. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Okay, we've got Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing well. How can I help?
Mine is, I have an interview tomorrow.
How do you think everything's going to go?
Okay, when is the interview?
Tomorrow.
Okay, it feels as though to me that there's a duality here. So I feel very strongly that you may have the possibility of having two job offers. Were you looking at more than one job? Were you interviewing for more than one job?
I only have applied at one place so far, several places. One place immediately got back to me, and I was surprised, taken back by his desperation of saying, if you do everything right, I have to do it like a test.
Uh-huh.
It's like an audition, and he said, you do everything right, he gives the job as yours.
I think that you're going to be offered two jobs. From what I'm seeing here, it's two job offers. So make sure that you pick the one that's the most exciting and the one that you'll have the most fun at. Because if you don't have fun, there's no point at all. So I would say as the job offers come in, pick the one where you have the potential for the most joy, and I'm not seeing you're gonna, you know, be playing, but it does feel to me as though there are two job offers. The one that is going to be the best one for you to take would be the one where you see yourself actually having the potential to grow, and there's the greatest upward mobility here, and you're gonna hear back. Almost within, let's see, this is Wednesday, by Monday.
Oh, okay, all right, okay. Yeah, because I always thought they told you on the spot.
No, it doesn't feel like it. It feels like there's going to be some thought that goes into this and there's some back and forth. That's why I said I saw two offers. So I feel that you'll hear by Monday.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thank you. All right, thank you. Have a good night.
You
bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye. Okay, apparently our switchboard is misbehaving. So let me see if I can pick up some of the ones that have been dumped. Hi, Shannon. This is Barbara. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Barbara. How are you?
I'm doing really, really well. How can I help?
Actually, you already helped.
Oh, great. What did I do?
You did. You gave my girlfriend, or old friend, a very good advice.
Okay. Well,
you told her to meet with a friend for lunch and repair a friendship that was lost.
I did say that to her, and she did.
And I had a friend who did that as well for me, and it was a blessing, and I'm very grateful.
I think any time you can save a friendship of a whole bunch of years, it's a good thing to do.
That's exactly what my friend Jeannie, who is my other friend, told me, which was funny. It was strange. I don't think she told you about that. It was like I accidentally texted her. I kept her on my phone. I wear a ring that she gave me. I've always thought positively about our friendship over the years. And I loved her very much, like a sister, a mom, a friend. But anyway, I accidentally texted her when I was trying to text my other friend, Jeannie. And she got the text, and she said, what are you talking about? Because it was something that my other friend Jeannie and I had done, and I wanted a picture of we went to the beach, and I wanted a picture that she had taken. And I was like, who is this? And I thought it was another friend of mine, Jeannie. And I said, how are your girls doing? She has two daughters. And she's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, wait a minute. Who is this? And she texted me back who she was, and I took a deep breath. And I was sitting with my boyfriend. I'm like, I just texted the wrong person.
Well,
and
you know,
now
there are.
She's saying she
there
wants
are no
to talk to me.
Okay, there are
no mistakes, Barbara.
Nope. There are no mistakes, and
nope,
lots of times it's really smart. Like I said to the other lady this evening, to let the past be the past and to try to build a better future.
Absolutely.
And so, you know,
Because in retrospect, when you look at what we do as humans and we look at the journey we take and things that are put in front of us, and we look at it and go, wow, whoa. And I told a patient, I work in a doctor's office, so, you know, God doesn't put anything in front of us that's a mistake, that we look at the journey and go, there was a reason for that. And there's a reason that they put people in front of us to give us a message and to let us know that it's okay. And, you know, I had some trepidation. I prayed all the way to the meeting. I prayed. I was like, please, Lord, let us go. Because I had some anger. I had some anger inside me from my divorce. It was a very dark place. You know, your other caller was like, you know, I was there. I was hurt and angry. And I felt like I was sleeping in a nail of beds, that everyone was hurting me and that everyone was poking me. It didn't really matter whether it was the truth or not. It felt like it was because my senses were up. My anger was up. My rage for being hurt by my ex-husband, and I let everybody know, and I let everyone feel it, and I felt it, and I couldn't articulate to anyone what was going on. And sitting down today and able to say quietly and calmly what I felt it lifted my spirit, it healed me as a human, and to be able, it was hard. I didn't know how I was going to react. I didn't know I was going to cry. I didn't know if I was going to yell. I didn't know what I was going to do. She led the spirit of that conversation. God bless her. But I am so grateful. I came home and told my boyfriend I was so glad that I did it. I was so glad that I released that and we were able to talk. I learned things that I didn't know, things that I probably needed to know about the situation. And it was just, wow. Wow. And I even told her I got diagnosed with cancer 2 years ago. I thought she was going to cry. She's like, why didn't you call me? And if she had been sick, I would have wanted to know she was sick. I always thought about her. I always cared about her. And it's like, I'm sitting across from her. It's like, you didn't even know I was sick. I thought she knew from mutual friends. She didn't know. And I always knew that if she knew, she would have called me, too. I think I knew that. I think that if she knew.
you've got a wonderful opportunity here to reestablish a multi-decade friendship, and you both have learned something from this, and
yes,
hopefully you can keep building on it.
Yes, I had a patient came in with her best friend, and they were friends for 15 years, and it made me think. It's like 20 years of friendship was gone. It was like I would lost a child. It felt so awful. I had to do that, I think, to heal. It was a moment of I was in this crazy world, and I needed to uplift some things. I'm sorry that had to be one of them now, because
well,
I really could have had her there with me during that journey in the cancer. But God blessed me with other friends that have been just so supportive too, but she wasn't there. And I always felt that loss. I always felt that pain of her not being there. And I wasn't there when her first granddaughter was born. I cried when I found out that baby was born. The apple of their eye. I've been there with all the other grandchildren. I was mm-hmm. there when they were born. So it was
Shannon, just remember that this is something that you can build on and take it slow. And it's a great gift. And it was a good time.
One woman who was talking, you know, that she had been lost from her family, you know, that's a journey you can take and be rekindled. There are ways of reconnecting that you don't know. I feel bad because that's going to be, I can imagine being separated from, she was my family. My girlfriend was like my family. So being separated, I understand. I can't, there's ways of that. There's going to come a moment, an opening where you can sit and turn and go and make a change in that. You can do something different. You can say, I want this. And say, okay, I want my friendship back. It wasn't easy. I thought about canceling out on lunch today. I thought about it 10 times. I'm like,
I'm really glad you didn't. And I do have to move on, but thanks so much for calling and giving me the feedback.
Well, it was really great. I think the journey further is going to be positive, and I'm hoping that this will make it better. Thank you so much,
I'm
Barbara.
Sure
I really appreciate you helping.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay, we have Eileen. Hi, Eileen. How are you doing tonight? Whoops, wait a minute. Hi, Eileen. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm unmuted now. Hi, Barbara. I was wondering if I could ask about, my relationship. I have a new relationship.
Okay.
I was just wondering if there's anything I can know about it.
Sure. How new is it? I mean, is it brand new, like yesterday, or is it a couple months? Is it?
It's 10 months, because maybe you're seeing another relationship. I also, have a 30-year relationship before that, so.
Okay. The one that I'm seeing, right now is a karmic relationship. It feels like you've been with this person before. So there should be probably a great feeling of a sense of I've been here before with him.
Okay.
And there should be a feeling of synchronicity I just get a feeling the two of you have been together before and that you've had the same kind of dreams and the same kind of focus, and it really looks really cool. So while there's work, I'm sure, it does feel as though this is a really good relationship for you, and I certainly, would say that there's good potential here for you. What's your reluctance? Because it does feel like there's reluctance here.
He has a daughter that lives with him that kind of was treated as if she's handicapped, even though she's not really. She's got some slight Asperger's, which is pretty common. A lot of kids have it. But she kind of almost rules the roost of the house, and I don't really want to enter that kind of situation. So, I mean, a lot of changes have happened when he's realized, I'm doing things with her, and he's realized she can actually cook for herself and do things. He thought he was running around doing all these things for her. She's 22. So I was a little kind of not sure if that would work out.
It feels to me as though it's got great potential. And I think you are actually helping his daughter. And, you know, in the same way, you know, helping him to see that she's capable of a tremendous amount more than he has given her credit for. So in many ways, you may have been opening up the possibilities of a healthier life for her by doing what you're doing.
Yeah, that's certainly my hope, yeah.
And at the same time, I think your relationship has great potential. So, you know, it does look as though there's good potential here. And don't forget, relationships are companionships that we're supposed to grow in. It shouldn't be hard work, but everybody has to grow, and so there are always going to be challenges, and there's always going to be a lot of stuff where you're learning and you're growing. So this is a really great relationship for you to grow in.
Okay, thanks. That's good news.
I mean, and that means it's a challenge, and that means that it may not be as easy as you would like, but I think you're going to learn a lot from this, and I think you're both going to grow tremendously. And I think having a sense of humor is really important here. So,
yeah.
But it does look cool.
Do you have any advice on how I can? Because she's sort of been like almost, you know how they used to. This sounds terrible, but chain people in the attic. It's like she's kind of chained to her video games, but it's the same effect as if she were chained in the attic, you know, and I'm trying to like get her out. Do you get any feeling like would there be a job or a study or something for her? Like, do you get any kind of a...
Well, I think you should do a little more homework on exactly what it is going on with her. And then I think, you know, that there are certainly programs and you know, if computers break down, oh my, then you have to find something else to do.
Right.
So, you know, I convinced my son once that his computer, you know, was exhausted and needed to rest. And actually I had just taken part of it out so that it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
And then once I told him, you know, he was very much younger, that I had forgotten to pay the electric bill, and so I couldn't afford the electricity for the computer. And he never got around to saying, but the television works and so do the lights. So, you know, it was, you know, whatever it takes, you have to be creative, and you have to be able to have a straight face.
Does it feel like she has a career in the metaphysical, or no?
How old is she?
22.
I think that it's too soon to tell, but I think she's a lot smarter than anybody gives her credit for.
I think she is, too. Yeah. Yeah, she is. Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
You hang in there, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I'm so glad to be back in the nighttime here. Hi, Anne. It's Barbara. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing fabulously well.
Doing fabulously well. That's awesome. I was answering Chris in the chat room when you unmuted me. So I'm like a deer caught in the headlights. You know, I kind of tuned into your show. I had a hard time with Blog Talk getting on.
Yeah,
I
was going to say,
and
you're surprised?
Yeah. I came in when the guy was on, ranting and raving. And I was like, woo, my kind of show. but you were like, wow. I was impressed. You held back a little.
I kind of really paid attention when he said he was a trained Marine. I wasn't going to go too far, too heavy.
Obviously, you didn't get all your stuff out on the battlefield. You see.
No.
this is also Illumination. We did a show. We did a show over there. Okay.
I know.
I just wanted to, I know you like doing past lives, and I've been having just one spiritual bombardment after another, just a lot of stuff happening. I don't know. I can't say it's awakening because I've been a psychic and a medium for a long time, so I've kind of been gambit and I've studied a lot, but I feel like someone just, you know, cranked up the volume, and in the last probably month or so, and recently I've been having a lot of dreams, and I had a dream last night that I went back in time to a vortex, and I kind of stayed in the past a little bit too long, so I was trying to get back to the present, and I could hear my kid's voice from far away saying, you know, you can do what you want. You just have to will it. You know, you're that strong. And so I did, and I brought myself back to, you know, present time. And then, you know, this is all, of course, in a dream, and I just kept thinking, you know, I can go back and help people correct the mistakes in your life. And I clearly heard from Spirit that it doesn't matter what you do to tell people the things that are going to happen to them. It's their personal choice whether they're going to walk down that road. So there's nothing that you can do to alter that, because if they're here to learn these lessons, you know, because I thought of all the things that were happening to all the people around me that is not so good, that I could go back and kind of warn them so they wouldn't get into the stuff they're in. And it
But if you do that, then means that you prevent them from learning a lesson that's important for their own evolution. So,
absolutely. And that's exactly what Spirit told me. And but the way, you know, the way it was said was just so profound. Like I felt it. I it's like I used all my senses to understand it. It was really amazing. And then I just woke up swearing that I could travel. It had a time machine somewhere, you know.
But we can. And I think that's something that people don't realize, that it's not a matter of even a time machine. It's a matter of putting this lifetime, this dimension aside, and letting yourself drift back to other times. And frankly, I don't think that this lifetime is as aware as some other lifetimes or time frames in the past have been. I think if you go back 3, 4, maybe 5,000 years, there was a greater sense of spiritual awareness amongst everybody, and that somehow the intellect and the ego got involved and pulled us all back into a too much of a physical reality. And we're just now getting to a point in time where we're letting go of the physicality and allowing ourselves to astral travel, to let the consciousness go and move and expand. It's an amazing time. And I think that over the last month, there has been so much going on the etheric level that those of us in the field have been bombarded with all sorts of really cool stuff that has probably knocked most of us out of balance and out of focus for a while. So
it's been definitely a crazy ride the last couple of months.
Yeah, I
but
know.
My question to you was, do you see, and I see everybody yelling about my headphones, so I will get that while you're thinking of my response. What do you see from my past lives? Because I've had a lot, so while you're doing that, I will mute myself so I can find my headphones.
Okay. Actually, it sounds pretty good now. Of course, you're probably muted. What I'm seeing here is that you've had a number of past lifetimes. This is really kind of cool. If we go back if we go back maybe 600-800 years, you were a male in Europe, and you helped people to gain freedom from confusion, and you helped people to find their true destiny pathways. You were a spiritual teacher, a spiritual leader. You were in Europe at that particular point in time, and you counseled people, and you were working more or less like a psychologist, psychiatrist type person, but you were helping people get rid of the you know, it's really interesting. The word demons comes up here, and most people, when they think of demons, they think of the celestial demons that are said to be out there. And from my perception, from my understanding, the only demons we have are the ones we carry inside that we make up ourselves, that we create our own inner demons, and that they don't have to be exercised as much as dissipated. Then I go back I go back a couple thousand years here. And here is another time frame where people who were highly evolved and highly spiritual were considered to be crazy, and you know, they were usually brought to you, and in many ways, and I'm going back quite a few thousand years, you had a whole community of people who were thought to be unbalanced, unwell, diseased, and basically they were spiritually oriented people who could see things, who could perceive things, and you had a whole community, and this is in Greece, and it appears it's an island that you had where you gathered all these people, and everyone lived together harmoniously, and you had an amazing community, and it was all self-supported, and you were the one that started to pull people in. It almost feels kind of like alphas, to tell you the truth, but you didn't go out and save the world and use their skills to, you know, defeat terrorists. You basically trained people to be able to utilize their skills and their talents, and to do so that no one could see what they were actually doing. And so once people had been trained well enough to be able to conceal the fact that they were functioning above reality, but use their talents and skills to help those within the reality, so that you know, people would stay with you for several years, and then they would move out, and many of the people that you trained during that time frame were called prophets, were called healers, were called magical people, and you know, it was a fascinating lifetime. I don't know what happened to the island, and I don't know what happened to you. Usually I see someone passing over at the end of a lifetime. I don't see that here, so I'm not sure exactly how your passing happened that lifetime. Maybe you didn't pass. No, you would have had to because you're here. And if I go back even...
I keep seeing myself do cartwheels. I don't know why that you're talking. I'm like seeing myself just cartwheeling.
And then I want to go back, you know, maybe 6,000-7,000 years, and I you're in the Himalayas, and you're at a monastery there, and then there are pieces of that monastery there to this day. If you've ever seen any of Nicholas Roerich's paintings, Google him, look through his artwork, because some of these things were painted in the monastery that I'm talking about. You were in a monastery. You secluded yourself because you were so different from everybody else that you had a sense of freedom that they didn't have. And in that lifetime, and we're way back, we're way, way back, you were capable of levitation. So it's a lifetime in which you tried to teach it to other people who had an ascendant consciousness, and there were some cases where they did actually achieve it, but not to the same level that you did. And so this lifetime, I got to say, there have to be times when you feel yourself leaving your body and you have to jerk yourself back.
Yeah, a lot of times. And usually more times when I'm doing readings, like I'll just... It's very strange, and not very many people can see me actually leave. I think Linda might be one of the few people that can, and my other friend, Lisa, which they will say, "Hey, stay with me." And I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
I can definitely relate. relate to what you're saying, you know, especially the one with the monastery. I had thought we were doing psychometry one time at this psychic training class. And the lady said, I'm just going to put stuff in your hands and I want you to tell me what you feel. And I just started hysterically crying. And she's like, what are you feeling? I said, I feel that this is a monk's cloth. And, you know, there was a lot of sadness and destruction in this monastery. Mm-hmm. And I could feel all the tears and blood that was shed during this time frame. She was like, you're absolutely right. So I can definitely relate to what you're saying about the monastery. And living through that time, I'm actually very interested to look at the paintings.
Nicholas Roerich, you're going to be so amazed by his painting. His who was it? Oh, darn. Who wrote The Lost Years of Jesus? Elizabeth Clare Prophet. God, I've met the lady. You'd think I could keep remembering her name. She used a lot of his paintings in a lot of her books. And they are the most amazingly stirring people. He painted in tempera. He traveled the Himalayas in the 1900s, late 1800s, early 1900s. He did it on muleback, and he took with him powdered tempera. And he would draw, and then they would make camp, and he would melt snow to mix the paints to paint these paintings. And you just won't believe it. And he and his wife were also founders of the Theosophical Society. So, he was amazing. You'll love his paintings. They're just so vibrantly alive. It's incredible. And there's a museum here in New York that actually has a large collection of them. And I've been down there, and you know, you just kind of want to go up and touch them, knowing where they've been and how they got there. So it's cool
stuff.
Wow,
amazing. And I've been doing a lot of the Akashic Records, you know, training with that and going back, and it's just amazing. It's so amazing what the mind is capable of. Not only,
absolutely,
you know, the abilities that we have on this plane, but we have access to so many other places, and we have the ability to do so many things. I also relate to the alpha thing. You know, I say to my one friend, because of the way the animals treat me, I say, it's because I'm an alpha. And she, you know, I'm an alpha female. And she's like, what does that mean? You know, and I'm not saying it in a negative tone or trying to belittle, you know, the animals. But I know by the way that they're treating me, they're giving me that respect, you know, on a very primal level. And so it's just interesting. I mean, you're 100% right on point. And I knew this would be a great conversation, and I thank you.
You're so welcome. Anytime.
I thank you, you know. And like I said, too, with the guy before, you handled it wonderfully. And there's so many people out there that, you know, they want to put the blame on somebody else. They want answers, but they don't want to hear the answers that we necessarily have to give them, which is the ones, you know, the information that they truly need to hear. And, you know, when they're ready for it, they'll accept it. And until then, you know, you can give that to the answers with a pot of gold, and it's still would not make any difference. They would still put the blame on someone else and not take responsibility.
That's true. So. But you know, after as many years as I've been in the field, you know, I have to sit back and just say, okay, this one is beyond me. And, you know, it doesn't happen that often, but every now and then somebody presents themselves that it is definitely beyond my capability of really doing anything for. So thank you, though. I do appreciate that. And I wasn't that evolved. I did hang up on him. So
Well, you know, you did the best thing for everybody. It's kind of like, you know, road rage. You don't hang around the person who's upset. You're like, okay, well, thanks. You know, sorry that you felt the need to cut me off too, but if that makes you feel better, all right.
Yeah.
You know.
Such as like, well, thank you for calling. I really appreciate your coming and listening to the show in this time slot, because I'd rather be at night, actually. So this feels good.
Good. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Take care now.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we've got Lucy. Hi, Lucy. How you doing tonight?
Hi, Barbara. I'm fine. This has been so interesting. I mean, it's gone from, like, you could just feel the antagonistic energy, and then it gets peaceful, and then it goes up, and this has been an experience.
Yeah, for me too.
Well, what I was calling about is I wanted to see what you're picking up about my job search. I am trying so hard not to let the frustration set in, but it's worming its way into my consciousness, and I'm trying not to. I'm applying left and right, and it's almost like I'm just not getting that interview. And I know once I get the interview, I have no doubt that I can sell myself. But
what kind of a job are you applying for?
I've been applying for administrative assistant. I originally started with what my previous field was, which was workers' comp, and those jobs just are few and far between in my area. Right now, I'm applying for administrative and customer service because, of course, I love to talk. And,
yeah.
You know, working with people is so easy for me.
Well, I think you do, from what I can see here, you do belong working with people. There's no doubt about that. And what I'm really getting here, though, is that you are birthing a new aspect of yourself. I'd like to see you taking it in a different direction. I mean, you are a people person, and I'd like you to even go back to school, to be perfectly honest with you. I think you are a counselor, and
well,
I would love...
That's the other part of it. I definitely have the spiritual side, and those are the things that I'm working on with my readings and all that. And I've done the steps to try to build a clientele. But what I need, and I know that's where ultimately my path is, but what I need is that hourly job that will help pay the bills until I can get the metaphysical side to bloom.
Well, I frankly want to suggest to you that you start putting yourself out there, and
mm-hmm.
and that you know, the mundane job may well come then. I think you have the understanding that you need the mundane job. You have the understanding that you become the bridge between the two worlds, the spiritual and the physical. That you understand all that. And frankly, I am seeing, how about in public relations, in human resources and stuff like that? I just think you're going into the wrong direction in your mundane reality.
Okay. See, now the problem with human resources is that they do look for a degree, which I don't have. I have 19 years of experience with one company. You know, pretty much went from being mommy to an hour, you know, to a part-time job, and just never left.
Yeah. Well, it feels to me as though, first of all, you definitely do belong in the spiritual, but you know that. And
mm-hmm.
so what I'm seeing here is you moving into, it feels like you're birthing a new job, a new aspect of yourself, and that my thought here is that if you start actually putting yourself out there in the spiritual side of it, that the universe will take care of the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's looking for a commitment to doing this, not for money necessarily, as much for, you know, how do you stretch your own spirituality? How do you learn more about yourself? And it really, for me especially, I find doing the free readings on Blog Talk is the greatest way to hone my talents, my skills, and my gifts. And, mm-hmm. and it's free. And it's free. You know, I mm-hmm. you know, there, and frankly, I've been doing it for 5 years now, and it has done nothing but help me. And mm-hmm. and it's so absolutely worth all of the experience that I've gotten that I wouldn't trade it for any amount of money. But as far as jobs and things like that going, I think as soon as you start giving away the spiritual stuff, the other job will just come. But you know, you certainly have to put the, you know, the stuff out there and everything and mm-hmm. the applications out there. I'm seeing you having a job by before October's out. It feels as though it's coming very, very fast.
Okay. That's fine. I just need to get just an idea, just so that I don't let the disappointment in. Because the spiritual side, I have been, you know, making the contacts and getting myself out there, and which is why I need the mundane job, because I'm not expecting, you know, to the money side of the spiritual is not that important yet.
Well, the money side of the spiritual never comes. Don't worry about it. I hear exactly what you're saying. All I'm saying is that if you get it out there, the more you get it out there, the more you actually fuel. And not getting paid is great, because then that becomes your creative endeavor, and then you're putting the creative energy out there and opening the creative channel for the spiritual energy to come in and move your mundane life along. So you know, just understand that in one way you're fueling two different things at the same time. It's a really cool thing. So mm-hmm. so I'm seeing by October. So I think you're in good shape.
Good. Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I don't want to have to worry about finances. But, you know, there's that little nagging thing at the back of my head, and I'm doing my best to push that aside and to manifest only positive.
Well, that's a great place to be. Do you have a vision board going?
Yes, I do.
Okay, then you're in good shape. And
okay.
Please understand, too, that you know, I don't know a spiritual person out there that isn't hustling for money.
Yeah.
In the mundane world. I mean, that's just part of the whole thing. If you had a great deal of money, then you probably wouldn't be as energetic towards doing the spiritual work. And it's a sad thing to say, but it does work.
Yeah. I mean, the job that I was in, it was 19 years, and I knew it was time, but it was also stifling the spiritual side.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't allow me to focus on that. And now that I've been given the gift of time, I've been able to look at it, and I know that's where I belong. I know that's what I need to do.
Yeah, well, you know, just let the universe manipulate it. It will.
Thank you. Thank you so much, dear.
You're so welcome. Take care now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Hi, Susie. How are you doing tonight?
Okay. How are you, Barbara? You've been a busy girl tonight.
I have been very busy tonight, yes.
With all sorts of things.
Oh, fireworks and everything, sure.
Yes. I'd actually like to see if you can see anything in regards to my daughter. She's 19 years old, and she just had her first baby in March, and her baby's father is 32 years old. I feel like that he's not really stepping up to the plate and taking care of her, and I just don't feel like he thought that he was. They just moved down to Alabama. I live in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And almost feel like that she's going to be coming back real soon to stay. They're having some difficulties with their relationship. She's been bouncing so much now for about at least a year. And would like to really see her settle down and do what she's supposed to be doing.
Well, that's what every mother wants. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that we have that control over our children, though.
She has expressed that she's that they're having difficulties, and the only thing I could tell her is that there's a place here for her at home, and she's welcome to come back.
Well, I think that that's the best you can do. I do feel that she has something to learn here, so does he, and that you have to stand back and let her do her thing. It's her journey. Do I think she'll be coming home? Yeah, I do. I can't tell you when, but it feels more like the first of the year. But this relationship is something that she's learning something, and you have to stand back and let her do it. I think the baby is safe. I think there's no harm to the baby, and it's between she and her husband, and the less input you have, the better it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So you just let her know
They are not married, so she has choices. So.
Well, you know, again, it's her journey. And you just don't offer too many times. Just let her know, you know, I think you've done it enough. She knows that there's a place if she needs to come home to it. Has to be her choice, can't be pushed on her. And that's something you've got to back up and bite the towel on. But I think, I think eventually you will have them back there, but again, it's something that you need to really back way off at, because you don't want her to ever come at you and say, you know, because of you, I walked away, because she has to walk away if she walks away, because it's her own choice.
Exactly. She's always went on her own path. She's always a very strong, she was very strong-willed her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And so she will do what she wants to do. But, you know, I feel very, very bad for the baby. And
I don't want to see my daughter
bouncing around. And there's also a dog in the mix, too. The dog doesn't have a place. She wants me to take the dog. I have 5 dogs in my house already.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and even though I absolutely adore the dog, 4 dogs are of my own, and one of them I'm taking care of for my son who's in Afghanistan.
It will all work its way out. Just have to trust the universe.
You know, I'm so attached to her dog, but yet I do know my limits and what I'm able to take care of here in my own home. And I feel like I'm in a place right now where I'm not really honoring myself with much of anything in my life.
Well, you know, lots of times we find that we get so involved with the lives of the people that we love that we forget that we have a pathway we're on too, and that we have to keep following our dreams and you know, moving ahead as well. So try to look for your balance and find it, and just be ready, because I do believe she'll be home.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much, sweet Barbara.
You're very welcome. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, we've got Althea. Hi, Althea. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, thank you.
How can I help?
I'm wondering what you see for me and Ryan.
How long have you guys been together?
What was it?
Are you together?
Yes.
Okay. How long have you been together?
like 7 years.
Okay. I can tell you, it's funny, when I look at the House of Relationship, I see I see the need for you to follow your own dreams. And I'm just not sure that you're doing that right now. It does feel as though there's a lot going on. It feels as though there's a lot going on here. And it's important for you to follow your dreams, to keep your own balance, to make sure that you're doing what you need to do for you and not just trying to help them.
Yeah, that's not a problem. Like, I'm, you know, what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it. It's just I'm wondering about the relationship. Like, what do you pick up on, like, for this year?
Well, to be perfectly honest, the only thing that I see here that might have some relevance here is I see pregnancy for you. I'm not sure.
And that's before the end of the year, or?
That's before the end of the year.
I guess I'm probably going to ask, planned or not planned?
Doesn't feel planned to me. It feels like it's one of those great, big, wonderful surprises that you go, oh, my God.
Are you sure it's gonna be pregnancy? Like, are you positive on that, or?
I see pregnancy, and pregnancy sometimes can be an actual literal pregnancy, or it can be a project that is very much like a child of spirit. So you can take your pick on that. It looked to me like a physical pregnancy.
Okay, and yeah, that's just what I wanted to know.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty. Thanks for calling tonight.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for being here tonight. I really thank you, chat room. You were fabulous. I certainly did enjoy all of your support and your comments here and there. We'll be back next Wednesday, 8 to 10. And I do believe Curious Times has a show coming up now. So if anybody is in for more fun stuff, I suggest you hop over to Chris's show. Thank you, Jeannie, as always. A phenomenal, absolutely wonderful job of doing the screenings. I could not do this without you. I would not like to do it without you is probably the better way to go. You have been, as always, the faithful companion here, and if I had the money, I would definitely double your salary. So we look forward to being here again next week in this time slot. Makes it a lot easier for us. Thank you, everybody. I so appreciate it. Namaste.